Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I'm joined by Carly Anderson. Carly, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Right, so as you said, my name is Carly Anderson. I'm from the Pearland FFA Chapter, Area 3, and the Texas FFA Association.
Awesome. So I like to start off with a few questions for everybody every time that I do an episode. So the question that I always start off with is, how has your FFA journey looked over the years?
Yeah, so it's just been incredible, and it's been so, I think in one word, opportunity filled. I think back to like first joining FFA and what my initial impression was, seeing how involved I am now, and it's just like this passion sparked, and I'm in awe of just like what God has brought me to in this organization. I've competed in a couple of different contests, a lot of them actually. So being like Creed, Ag Issues, Quiz, I've done a few different speaking events and wildlife judging. And so I've made 6 state finalist appearances for things like Creed, Prepared Public Speaking. We have something called Soil Stewardship Speaking, which is just like an extra division of it. And kind of each one of those has just been a unique opportunity to really grow my knowledge and just experience agriculture in a whole new light. And another really special part of my experience has been being an officer. So this is my 2nd year as a chapter officer, and I think that opportunity, the reason that it's so special to me is because I remember how much I looked up to chapter officers my freshman year and like what that meant to me. So just getting to be that for other people is really incredible and helping Green Hands kind of find their place in this organization, because I know how overwhelming it can be.
Definitely. So your journey sounds like it has been a very fun one to be on. So leading into the next question, so I know you mentioned a few things that you've done in FFA. So what are your favorite things like outside of competitions?
Outside of competing, I would say people and learning new things. I think every single event, one of my favorite things is just talking to members and getting to know their story and build friendships with like people that I wouldn't otherwise see or meet. This organization, it's really brought me some of my best friendships, and I think it's really insane kind of seeing how we make those connections. I think like one of my closest friends, if not like my closest friend, Tracer, he's someone who not like he's not in my chapter, he's not in my area, but we're just both in Texas FFA, and we met through a mutual friend, and now we're just super close. And I think it's stories like that where it's just so fun getting to meet people that you really would not talk to otherwise and kind of build those relationships and learn their stories and all those things. I think the other piece of FFA that I really enjoy is just learning, because I'm someone who doesn't come from an agriculture background, so it's really learning things that I never saw myself having interest in. This speaking season alone, it brought me the chance to learn a lot of things like soil chemistry and ag policy, and that's something like I'm now wanting to turn into a career, which I think is so crazy because it's something I never had an interest in. I never thought that I'd be interested in it, and now it's like I'm igniting and expanding that passion. And so that's probably one of my favorite parts of FFA, is getting to meet those people and learn their stories, and then also getting to just learn more about agriculture and what that's like.
It's truly empowering, to be honest, like the amount of people that you can meet in FFA. Like, one thing that always jumps out to me is the FFA and the USA Reporter team. It's over 140 people across the country. And there's people from all the way up in Colorado to there's some Florida people that I've talked to. And it's just crazy the connections that you can make within FFA.
And, absolutely.
And they're always going to lead you somewhere in the future, too. Like, you'll make that one friend that'll probably be with you for a while. I mean, you know, help you through some stuff or anything like that. So I know you mentioned that you are a Texas FFA member. So what is it like being in Texas FFA?
Yeah, that's a common question. So I would say just being in Texas FFA as a whole, I think the ratio is like 1 in every 8 FFA members is in Texas. And like, oh, wow. It is huge. It's insane. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of such a large organization, because we have so many different diverse factors, and it really just gives you that chance to learn and grow without having to travel super far. And we get a lot of unique opportunities just because of the variety of Texas agriculture. And I mean, yeah, ultimately it's crazy big. And ultimately, like, it is just super fun getting to have all these opportunities and meet so many people because, once again, like, we do have a ton of FFA members, and that brings a lot of different events as well.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the Tennessee FFA state officers a few months ago, right after National Convention. I think it was our regional president, actually, for West Tennessee. And she mentioned the amount of delegates that Texas had at National Convention.
60-something, yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yes, like, that is true. I listened to that episode and I was like, yep, that's correct.
It's truly crazy seeing, I mean, how many people and how diverse it is, too. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on, like, the geography and, like, the difference and, like, all that of Texas. But it's so exciting. I know you were mentioning a few competitions that y'all have down there.
Yeah.
What was the one about wildlife that you mentioned?
Oh, my gosh. Do y'all not have wildlife? Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy. Okay. So, wildlife. No, I just like to start off by saying I'm not too good at it. Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to keep it real. I'm not that good at it because there are so many factors, but it's so exciting. And I love getting to learn, even if I have no clue what's going on. So we have a contest list and it's 81 different plants, and your plant line in the contest, I think it's 12 plants. And then you have to identify like what species would eat that out of, like, we have 9 species. And then you have a biofacts quiz, which is just like, all of the facts about the animal and, you know, where they come from and like, they're kind of like science behind them and origins and things like that. We have a safety quiz, which is like a lot of like hunter's ed type stuff that you would see, and fishing and game laws is another section. And then techniques, which is, it's kind of everything. It can be anything wildlife related. So whether it's identifying hides and different skins, or being able to like, what is this animal? What is this bullet? What is this gun part? Like, it gets so random and it's so hard and it's terrible. And I'm not that great at it, but I still love it. I get to miss a lot of school for it because all of our contests are like, because Texas is so big, you're traveling like inevitably at least a few hours to get to all these contests. And so lots of school getting missed. And so, you know, I call it a win.
That is honestly so cool. Like, I've never heard about that. Like, I've heard of the apple competitions that they've got up.
I laughed when I found out about the citrus one. I said, no way.
There's so many that I saw a picture. Somebody said like a state had a cotton judging competition.
Yes, I've heard of those.
It's so cool and unique.
It's random. I want to know how they thought of it, because I know we have like wool judging too and things like that.
Yeah, like I think Tennessee, like we have a bunch of basics. I mean, the, you know, we have your livestock judging, your horse evaluation, poultry evaluation, like a bunch of animals,
yes.
But none like wildlife wise. That's so cool. I've never heard of that. So is there any other competitions that y'all have that are like, just, I guess you could say,
I'm out sure. There? I guess, I don't really know. I'm not super educated as far as, like, what other states have. But I know, like I mentioned, like, we have wool judging. Like, that's just something. And then, obviously, like you said, like, we do have, you know, we have the typical poultry and all those things. I know my chapter doesn't do livestock, but I do livestock judging through 4-H. I guess, like, our quiz, it's a little bit different because it's going to be just, like, each state's quiz is different. And for Texas, like, I just feel like it is so much material because we have so many different factors, and there's at least 30 pages alone just about cattle.
Oh, my.
And trying to memorize all those little cash receipt numbers, and, like, I don't know what a GCFI is, but I got to go into that contest, and I got to pretend that I can, pretend that I know what it is. Define, like, mid-sized family value farm. Like, girl, I don't know. But, I think it's just the contests, or especially ones like that, or even like our officer quizzes, because they incorporate things like farm facts and our ag issues. It's very interesting because of the diversity of Texas agriculture and how far and widespread it is. It just feels like I'm taking a test and it's so random. And I'm like, I don't know how to study for this because it's 500 pages of material. And you're going to choose one question in the middle of each page at like the bottom of a sentence where it's like, the only one that's not highlighted or underlined, like, that's the sentence you're going to choose.
I am so blessed to be a part of Tennessee FFA, it sounds like, because there's been so many, I guess you could say, like, they're regional officers here. I don't really, did you say their area in?
Yeah, we don't have, so ours is split up into, you have your chapter, your district, your area, and your state, and those are, like, all of our officer levels. Wow.
We've only got chapter, regional, and state.
Yeah, but I heard about y'all's process, too, and it's super, it's really, like, crazy. Like, you can't just, for us, you can't just, like, apply for it. You have to get, like, you have to run for it at the chapter level and get chosen as candidate.
Oh.
And then, like, if you want to be an area officer, you have to get chosen as candidate, go to district, get chosen as your district candidate, and then you're running for actual area.
That is so crazy because, like, I'm sure you've heard in, like, the past episodes, but, like, in Tennessee, you just, if you want to run for regional, you go run for regional. Each chapter can only put one candidate out there, but you can go run. And if you don't get regional, you can still run for state, and many state officers,
what?
Like, did not get selected as regional officers, but they, you know, got selected as state and excelled.
What? I'm booking a flight.
The only thing that you have to have is, like, if you're, I'm sure this is for every single state, though, if you're wanting to run for national office, you have to be selected by a committee and,
yeah,
like, that's about the only one that's just, you know, you have to have had state office before that, but that's, I'm sure, common for every single state.
Yeah.
That is,
I don't know a bunch about nationals. I just know, like, for, even for state office, like, it's just so, it's so weird hearing how different states do it.
How many state officers do y'all have?
We have 12.
Not too bad. We've got
It's just one from each area.
Okay. I think years ago, ours used to be like, there was two from each region. Like you'd have two from West Tennessee, two from Middle, two from East. That wouldn't add up to 8.
Okay.
My bad. I don't know where I was going with that, but I feel like I've heard that somewhere. But yeah. So while I guess we're talking about Texas FFA, would you want to share a little bit about what like state convention is like down there?
Oh Lord, it is. It's like a ginormous FFA party. There is nothing like it. I have met just so many people, and whether it's, like, chatting with friends and, like, you're meeting new ones backstage for awards or just experiencing the one and only TikTok viral famous FFA business session, it is definitely something to remember. I think it's just one of my favorite moments. I remember, like, when I was backstage waiting to go on and, like, I was getting recognized for, like, state finalist speaking, and I met another girl who's now, like, one of my great FFA friends. And it's just, like, amazing for chances like that to meet people from your state association, especially when you have, like, that common line. Because we were all in line to go on stage for public speaking. So, like, I know all these kids have that common passion. And so getting to meet different people that have your passions. And then the entire convention as a whole, it is just huge. It is so easy to get lost. It rotates between, we go Houston, this upcoming year, it'll be in Fort Worth. And then I've been to Dallas as well. And all those locations, obviously, they're huge. You know, FFA, Texas cities. And it just is like a sea of corduroy. And that, like, we just take over the entire city. And everywhere you go, we're taking over every local restaurant, every town, every business, every hotel. Like, we are packing it full. And it is just so incredible getting to see so many people who all have this interest for agriculture and all wanting to take a week of their summer to come experience FFA to a whole new level. And it is just, it is ginormous and it is insane and it is very chaotic. And I end up sleeping for, I think, 2 days straight afterwards, but it is all good because it is so incredible and so much fun.
I couldn't even fathom like the location changing because for Tennessee, we have it every single year in Gatlinburg, which is like the arguably biggest tourist attraction in Tennessee.
Really?
And I mean, I think we pack about 4,000 people down there. But like you said, everything down there is full. I mean, if you're a visitor during that week, I feel bad for you.
No, you're not getting in anywhere.
No. Like hotels booked to the brim. Restaurants are busy as can be. I mean, you may can get in there while we're in like a session or something, but
yeah.
But that's crazy that y'all rotate locations for one and that, wow.
I like the idea of it, and I think it was cool because now each day convention spirits, like, it's so unique.
Oh, definitely.
For Dallas, you know, we're having to travel to that, whereas Houston, like, we were just, like, we would just come back every day, and, like, you'd sleep at your house, and then we'd wake up, we'd meet at the barn at, like, 5 or 6 a.m., and then we'd drive to George R. Brown, which is the Houston Convention Center we were using. And so every year it's different, and the location change, you get to, since there's three of them, you experience each one time in your FFA career. So you get to rotate throughout all of them, which is super fun. And for instance, when it's in Fort Worth this next year, like, Texas is really big for, like, the Stockyards.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's going to be super fun to get to experience. So I think it's just the idea of getting to be in a new location every year. For me, I really like it because it's places I really wouldn't go to otherwise. Like, I would, where it was last year in Dallas, it's not really somewhere I would typically find myself. But getting to just kind of see, you know, what it was like there, and getting to travel to these places, getting to be with my officer team, and just, like, going on this big trip with your best friends. Like, that is just so super duper fun. So I really like the location change for us. I think it's super unique. And also, when you have so many members, I think it's almost necessary.
Yeah, I mean, each town gets its little, you know, fair share every
And then they years. Need a food break before they can do it all over again.
And you said y'all's is during the summer, right?
Yes, ours is in July.
Oh.
It'll actually
I bet
be
it's hot. That. Wow. I think ours is like, well, yeah, we're the last week in March this year.
Really?
I love having it in the spring, though. It because Gatlinburg is always cold. And we're there when it's getting, like, starting to get, you know, a little bit warmer outside, but there's still snow on the mountaintops. Like, it's.
What?
Yeah, it's fun. I wouldn't want it anywhere else, to be honest.
Yeah, I would love for it to not be 100,000 degrees outside during state.
In an FFA jacket, huh?
That jacket is not forgiving. It does not care.
Sure isn't, because, like, so this past summer, like, every single summer, Tennessee does a leadership training camp with Tennessee FFA. The state officers lead it. It's a week-long camp. There's, like, 7 different weeks you can go. And I think the week that we were there this year was, like, one of the hottest weeks that there was.
Oh.
And, you know, having to run around in OD the whole entire, almost the whole entire week, it was rough. But, so, I guess getting back onto the topic of the questions. So, I know you mentioned that you are very active in speaking competitions. So, would you want to maybe walk through, like, what you do to prepare for those competitions?
Oh, Lord. It is a long process. So, the first speaking thing I ever did was Creed speaking. That was freshman year, and I was expecting to study it for, you know, August when I started to December, hopefully, because that's when our state contest is. I ended up studying it for 15 months straight, and I studied for about 2 to 6 hours every day freshman year. It was a lot. But that entire process, to me, what it kind of looks like is whether it's a speech or something like the Creed, where it's that, you know, once you have those set words, it is just extracting every single word and then, you know, putting it to 2 words, to 3, to where you are just, you know, the definition of every single word of that piece. And so it becomes so meaningful. And to me, the Creed contest, like, that is my FFA journey. When I think of FFA, like, I genuinely do not think I'd be where I am today. Something that's kind of unique, I guess, is I never bought an FFA jacket because for a while I was thinking I was going to quit freshman year because I just didn't understand how this organization could have a place for me. And it felt like everyone else came from somewhere ag-related or like they just knew so much because their family showed livestock and I didn't have that. And so it wasn't until after state freshman year that I finally bought an FFA jacket. But going back to the question, like, whenever I'm preparing for that contest, it's just so fun getting to really explore and dive into all these different areas of the Creed or my speech and just learning. And another process that I really like in that is the interview process. I'm someone who learns a lot just from talking with others. And so I loved getting to meet with other farmers and ranchers and just people all over the state and eventually the nation as I was preparing to compete at Creed Nationals. And getting to just learn from them, being a little bit older and wiser and having those ag experiences, and then getting to share the stories in the contest is something that is just, it's so special to me, because I'm getting to share what agriculture is not just doing in my life, but the experiences of others and the way that that's impacted other people. There's so many opportunities that have been brought to me through it. And so the entire process, though it might have ended up being 15 months, like there's nothing that could shape my journey more, nothing that has taught me more than competing in these speaking contests.
Yeah, I've been doing speaking competitions. This is going to be my third year now. I did Creed freshman year, which was really fun.
Yes.
I love Creed.
Love it.
I procrastinated a lot, but I made it through.
There you go.
So I did Creed freshman year. Sophomore year, I started doing extemporaneous speaking, which I instantly fell in love with. That competition's like, that's like my competition.
I'm trying it this year. I'm excited.
It's so fun. And I'm doing it again this year. Actually, we start our competition stuff. Well, the first, like, I guess you could say, like, a clinical thing is the 30th of this month. So it's coming up quickly, and It's a really fun competition, though. Speaking has always been, like, one of my jams, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So, what is, like, your favorite part of competing in the speaking competitions?
My favorite part of competing in them, I think, is the preparation and the process. Not necessarily just the competition, but honestly, when I am actively competing, like, it's just the adrenaline and, like, the rush. And, like, the second that I go into that room, it's just, like, a different version of myself. And there's just something about it. And I can never place my finger on, because it's just something that I wouldn't have ever seen myself involved in, much less, like, caring about this much. But getting to be in that contest room, just understanding why I'm there and looking at it and looking at the bigger picture of what I'm a part of, that is just so unique and special. And getting to get the judges' comments is also one of my favorite things, because I get to not only see, you know, how did this contest, what did it look like to me, but what did it look like to other people, and how did my words and my speech and my experiences with my questions, how did that impact you, and how can I better represent agriculture? And I'm always looking for ways to get better at public speaking, because it's something I'm turning into a career that, you know, I want to be better for, it just not in FFA, but long term. And so my favorite part of competing is just getting to always look for opportunities to grow and better myself, and then also just meeting other kids at these contests who have those same passions. I'm someone who was fortunate enough, I won I was state champion Creed speaking, so my freshman year, and so I got to continue studying the Creed for 12 more months, because our state LDEs are in December, but nationals are in November, so I had to study for another entire year before I actually went and competed at nationals. But preparing for that contest, and then when I got to finally competing there, like, once again, I was all throughout that process and preparation presenting the Creed to every single person I could, and in that getting even more feedback and learning even more. And so it's just this constant cycle of giving and receiving also the input of others. And I think that there's something so special about that, and so special about, like, just whatever I would share with other policymakers, especially the light on their faces, because they remember the words of the Creed from when they were in FFA 30 years ago, and seeing the way that it has just traveled and the meaning of it in others' hearts, and just that passion that we all have, is something that's very unique, and just something that I think the Creed is very unifying in that sense, because it's unchanging and because it is something that we can all kind of find ourselves in.
Awesome. So I know you mentioned that you went to nationals to compete in the Creed competition. Would you want to share a little bit about your experience of being at that national convention?
Yes. So whenever I hear other people's convention stories, it's always interesting, because mine was so different. We don't go to nationals as a chapter, really, unless we have someone, like, I was there for competition, but the rest of my chapter wasn't. And so my experience was very unique because I was caught up kind of in competing and preparation the whole time. I only actually ended up attending, I want to say, one session at Lucas Oil Stadium. And then I did, you know, explore and find myself a whole new wardrobe at Wondering Maverick. And so that was a great experience. But my convention experience, it really did center around Creed. And what that was like was, it was just this kind of a moment of awe, just understanding like this, like, because I've been preparing for it for 15 months at that point. I'm like, this is it. This is everything beyond what I thought I was capable of. And it was just such a sentimental moment to me because I was just getting to see all of my hard work come to life and getting to look around and say the same 258 words as 53 other kids who I know all put in so much work because I know the work that it takes to compete at nationals. It was just so special because finally I felt like I wasn't just the one kid who like really was just obsessed with the Creed, but I was with 53 other kids who also were loving and obsessing over the Creed. And so it was just so special and so incredible. And there's so much that I have gained from that experience, and it is one of the most special parts of my journey, and I think it's something that I'm always going to carry with me just because of everything I was able to learn while I was there. I think one of my favorite parts was when I talked to other people. I remember talking to one kid in the Creed preparation room for preliminary rounds, and he like owned his own potato farm, and I'm like, that's so cool, because who just does that? Like, I think he was like 15. And then also, because the Creed speaking rules do vary state to state, there was one kid, he was from Puerto Rico, and this was, you know, 2023. He was only 14 years old. He was a junior FFA member. He was in, like, 7th or 8th grade. And, like, here I was. Like, I was now a sophomore. I had won state when I was a freshman, and I was now a sophomore. And I'm 15, and, like, even just finding those similarities, it was just so special, and it meant so much to me to be there. And just, I was so proud of not just myself, but I was so proud of everyone there. Like, I'm like, I don't know you, but I'm so proud of you for being here.
I've heard so many, like, stories, like, you know, regarding, like, people's, like, I guess you could say first times at nationals or, like, competing at nationals, and, like, there's, like, always one common thing. Like, every time that you're there, which I've never gotten the chance to compete, this next year, I don't know, maybe will be the time.
Hey, I'll see you at extent. I'll see you at extent.
Fingers crossed. So it's always exciting to hear those people talk about exactly what was going through their minds, I guess, while they were sitting in the room. I know I was talking to, I think it was Sarah Ault, our West Tennessee State Vice President, current State Vice President. And just hearing the story that she gave, I think she was competing in Creed too a few years ago while COVID, I think, was calming down, something like that. But it's always exciting to hear those stories of people that have, like you said, you put in a bunch of work to that competition, a year plus of work. And yeah, it's just so exciting to hear that. And yeah, so I think I have a few more questions I did want to ask. So what is something that you're looking forward to with the, what is something that you're looking forward to most with the rest of this year in FFA?
One of the things I'm really excited for is, I know I mentioned how Texas divided up. We have area officers, which is basically our version of what I think you described to be like a regional officer. And I am looking forward to, in this next couple months starting, or in this month really, as I'm starting to prepare to run for area office. I remember going to, we have an area level green hand camp, and I went to that my freshman year. And I just remember, like, we were in this one workshop, and it was, you were told to write on a note card what your goal was. And I was like, I want to be one of these people. Like, I want to be an area officer because these people are cool. And so that was what I put on my note card. And it's like a little jacket keepsake that goes with me to every competition now. And just getting to run for that, I really enjoy the process because I love a good FFA speech. I'm always here for the entertaining ones. Like, I want to hear your life story. I want to hear, like, the funny thing that you did when you were 5 years old. Like, I want to hear all of it. And so I am really looking forward to running for area officer. And if I do get that opportunity, God willing, I think – it would be so incredible just to represent FFA even more. And getting to serve, I'm someone, I really have that like servant heart in a sense of I'm always looking for opportunities to volunteer and help others and just pour into others the same way that I'm constantly getting the opportunity to be poured into. And so I would just really love that opportunity. And it's something that I'm especially looking forward to as we kind of go into this second half. And I'm also really looking forward to the speaking season, which for us, our first contest, or not our first contest, but our first practice to start making our speeches actually happens in 2 weeks. And so I am super excited for that because I have no clue what my speech is going to be over this year. And I'm trying extemp for the first time. So that's going to be super interesting and a little outside of my comfort zone. But, you know, we're going to go with it.
Like, it was so funny. So as soon as the clock rolled over into 2025 a few weeks ago, or last week, I guess, I'm sitting here saying like it was a month ago. Jeez. So whenever the clock had rolled over, it instantly hit me like this year's it's about to get like really, really busy with FFA.
It looks like it's all in the second semester is when
always,
it
always like because like with me personally, I'm going Saturday to a preparation course for running for a regional officer position in West Tennessee, and they're just going to follow every single weekend after that until almost the end of March.
Wow.
And you know, as you were mentioning, like our speaking stuff, which I know you said that y'all are going to prepare, like start working on y'all's, like, and we're, you know, we're giving ours, we're going at it, I guess you could say, and getting it done. It's just so crazy how quickly that stuff just starts.
And it feels like the second you start, it's like, oh, well, it's competition day. Like, let's go to
exactly. Like I told myself that I was going to take about a week long break whenever I got out for Christmas break. And not focus on FFA for anything, and then that was a bad idea, to say the least, because the second that I, you know, am sitting here about to get back to work on stuff, it hit me how much I had to do, and, you know, that little week could have helped, but the break was nice, so.
It was nice, lots of rest.
Plenty of it, now it's just, you know.
Lock in.
Yeah, till the end of May. I mean, it's probably possibly longer than that, till the end of May of 2026. So, what is this question I always end every single episode with, because I feel like that it's one thing that if somebody's going to remember it, they're going to remember the most recent thing they've heard. So, I wanted to ask you, what is one piece of advice that you would give to an FFA member that is hesitant to get involved in FFA?
I would just say, you know, one, I see you because I was that person. I was very hesitant. But I think my advice would be just take that leap. And I think that's obviously, I'm sure that's super common to say, but it is genuinely the best advice that you could get is like, it, like, people are just like, oh, just take the step of faith. Like, no, babe, that's not a step. That is a leap. You are jumping. Because for some of us, like, it really is so outside of your comfort zone. But I would really just tell them how there's so many opportunities in FFA that you find a way to incorporate those passions you had. I know I mentioned earlier, like, I didn't really see myself in agriculture because I didn't have that traditional background. But I look at what I'm doing now, and I grew up doing, I did a Broadway regional musical theater show. And so that incorporated things like I was having to do a lot of memorization for those shows. And then also just communication with others and that public speaking side of like being super expressive in my speeches. I think that all comes from my acting career from when I was younger. And so I think even like in the most unexpected ways, you're going to see younger you and your current passions and reflections. That's going to reflect into your FFA career in ways that you don't even realize. And now that I am involved and now that I have gotten those opportunities, I see that FFA, yes, it's outside of my comfort zone, but it's also right inside of it because I'm finding ways to further those passions and explore them in new areas. And so I think it's a nice incorporation of trying new things and exploring what you already know and love. And so I would really just invite them to take that step and just plug in and, you know, go on your state association website, see what events are offered, see what your school does. And, you know, if anything, talk to your ag teachers as they get to know you. They can also help to recommend events because I know that that's what mine did. They were able to help kind of curate my FFA career more to me as they got closer to me. And so I would just say, you know, do it, go for it, and you are going to find something that is for you. And don't be like me. Don't wait 6 months in to get your FFA jacket. Go for it, because you're going to end up loving it.
Of course. So thank you again for being on this episode today. Are there any like closing remarks that you'd like to give before we end the episode?
I'm so grateful to be in FFA, and just to anyone listening, just stay involved. There's so many opportunities in FFA, and don't be afraid to take them. You know, it might seem scary in the moment, but at the end of the day, it is just a contest.
Awesome. So, like I said, thank you again for being on the episode. I've greatly enjoyed hearing your story and being able to share it with so many other people. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the podcast. I will see y'all back next week.